again, and welcome to Crime Kooks with your hosts Emily and
Rachel. Today we're going to dive into John Lynch, a serial killer who believed the Lord himself gave him permission to kill.
That seems like a pretty good reason to me.
Totes. In his early life, he was born in 1813, County Cavan, Ireland. So he's an Irish man. Not for long, but like he was an Irish man.
Yeah, honestly, not much is known about him between his birth and his convictions, so we can't really talk much about his early life. I just want to drop this here. He was 5'3".
Yes. Yes, he was 5'3". That's all you need to know. End of the episode, everyone.
Yes.
Anyways, so Lynch left Ireland when he was 19 on a ship called Dunvegan. Might not be how you pronounce it, but that's how it's spelled. So, yeah. Castle on July 1st, 1832. And then he arrived in New South Wales on October 16th of the same year.
So after he arrived there in New South Wales, which sounds very fancy, he was assigned to a home in Berrima, a new village in the South Highlands.
Yes. Which was roughly 130 kilometers from Sydney, Australia. There he worked as a convict laborer before joining a gang of bushrangers.
Bushrangers.
Yes, bushrangers.
So just to clarify, bushrangers, drop this in there. They were originally escaped convicts in the early years of the British settlement of Australia who used bush as a refuge to hide from the authorities. So he's just hiding in the bushes.
Yes. Yes. Which makes sense for him, considering in 1835, he and two other people were convicted for the murder of a man named Tom Smith. Afterwards, he gave out information on their gang, and the jury didn't believe Lynch was involved and let him go while the other two men were hung.
Seems fair to me.
Yes.
Just let the other guys hang. All right. What did he, he convinced the judge?
I don't know what he did, man. Like, I feel as though...
I think, as a lot of serial killers, he probably had some charisma because, you know, the jury didn't believe it. So I guess the judge didn't really get much of a say.
I'm pretty sure that I read that he had, like, a confession and everything. And, like, they were like, yeah, no, he definitely did it. But the jury didn't believe what he was saying. And so they were just like, mm-mm.
Yeah, he's totally lying. Let's not kill him. So now on to his crimes, because we don't know anything about his early life. Not a lot is documented about it. So he had 10 victims in total. So not as much as some other serial killers, but still pretty impressive.
Right. In fact, the murder spree began after his visit to T.B. Humphrey's farm, which was one of his former workplaces, where he stole 8 cattle to sell in a bigger city, Sydney, Australia. On his way to Sydney, Australia, he passed through Razorback Mountains, where he met a man named Ireland, which is kind of ironic considering that's where he's from, and a young boy driving a full cattle herd with wheat, bacon, and other things. Now, they had intended to bring it to a man named Thomas Cowper, but Lynch was like, hey, I could sell this. Money, 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 you know what I mean? So... one morning when they were all staying the night together in the mountains, Lynch was like, I need to get them alone, you know? And so Ireland had asked the young boy to round cattle because they were about to, you know, continue traveling. And Lynch snuck up behind the boy and beat him in the head with a tomahawk, Lynch called it, which was really a small axe. And a part of me really wants to judge him for that. And honestly, ever since I started researching him, I've been judging him for it, like, in here mentally, whole time.
Yeah, of all the things you could use to murder someone, you choose a tomahawk. That's, like, the thing that I remember Camp Wyman. It's, like, it's something that you use in a fifth grade camp that you just throw at targets. I mean, here's I get it. It's lightweight, but...
It wasn't even a tomahawk.
What was it, then?
It was just a small axe.
Isn't that what a tomahawk is?
I don't know, man. I really don't. I thought a tomahawk. Here, hold on. A tomahawk is. Google, work with me. Is a. Not a tomahawk steak.
It's a single-handed axe native to the many indigenous people and nations of North America. So, it's like a hatchet.
Yeah, it's more of a hatchet, while this was an actual, like, axe, you know, like, cut trees. You know?
Yeah. Well, anyway, after he killed this young boy, after he killed the poor little, you know, I don't know, the guy who was with Ireland, he returned back to the camp as the Ireland guy was making breakfast and decided to distract him before, bam, bashed him in the head as well.
Thanks.
And then he hit both corpses.
It's like we're playing Mafia all over again. Right before the death. That was funny. Was that a joke? Was that why you...
I don't know. I just had that little onomatopoeia to emphasize the point. So, yeah. He just, you know, bashed him in the head and hid both corpses and then, bam, moved yes. on. I mean, that was it. Just so simple. Clean and cut, yes. you know?
Mm-hmm. Actually, during his journey back from Sydney... he had gone there, sold all the goods, you know, as one does. And then on his way back from Sydney, he met father and son pair near the mountains, and they were working with a Mr. Botton's cattle herd. We all know they don't live that much longer afterwards, considering just like before with Ireland and the kid with him. He spent the night with them, killed them both in the morning to take their cattle, buried them in a shallow grave after, and thanked the Lord for his work for assisting in murdering the pair. That's very important. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit gave him permission.
Just gotta bend that knee and ask, hey, can I murder this person?
Right. A lot of people, why do so many people just kind of like use religion or visions as a scapegoat for murder?
It's like supposed to be some sort of justification or something. Like back when, like, I don't even know, like the Salem witch trials and all that crap, they always use justification to kill all those young women. So it's just like a scapegoat, not very good one, but yeah.
Like, okay, I get it, but like I know of one guy who was like, hey, this man came to me in a dream and told me to set, I needed to set this carnival on fire. And so I did. And he was just like, that's why I did that. Moving.
Do we know this mysterious name?
I don't remember it. I heard about it from Wine and Crime. As I would. Anyways. So yeah, he killed.
He's gonna jump back to John Lynch.
Yes. So he killed them, and then he was like, "Hey, these people owe me 30 pounds."
That's a euro. So basically, back to John Lynch. So he spent the night with these people. He killed both of the men, the father and son pair, and took their cattle. He likes doing that. I don't know. Buried them in a shallow grave and bent that knee, thank the Lord.
Anyways, he then decided to pay the Mulligan family, who owed him 30 euros for stolen items that they purchased from him, a visit, which we all know is going to end well for them.
But what's the point of paying them if he's just going to kill them?
He didn't pay them. They...
Oh, he owed them. I'm smart.
He didn't owe them. They owed him money, and they wouldn't pay up.
Nice.
So, you know.
Just don't pay the serial killer.
Yes. So, he documents it as he found Miss Mulligan on the porch, and he asked about the money, and she claimed they only had 9 euros in the whole house. He then claims that to be, you know, polite and nice and not make any rash decisions, to wait for her husband So he went and bought them a glass of rum to try and sway them into giving him the money. That way, when he returned, you know, he wouldn't have to ask the Lord for some more guidance. But when he returned, the couple both greeted him and the couple asked him to be more reasonable. Then, because, you know, they wouldn't do what he asked, he claims that he spent time sulking and consulting the Lord, and that he was then given permission to murder them.
That's nice. You know, always love just bending that knee to the Lord, asking if I can murder someone. I just can't get over that, how he did that, like, before every murder, or, like, almost every murder.
I know.
And it was literally all, it was only 30 euros. I mean, maybe back then it was probably worth more, but the reason they owed them 30 euros was because they had bought stolen goods that they purchased from him. So he's the one who stole the goods in the first place.
Right. And to be clear, currently, today, 30 euros is $35.68.
You know, people have killed for less. I will say that.
You're not wrong.
Like, you owe me 5 cents? Oh, look at this knife I have here. Bye.
Oh, I love knowing people who just keep a list of people who just owe them things.
Oh, I totally do that. I'm petty like that.
Yes. But, you know, anyways, so he was like, Lord, can I? And the Lord was like, yes. So he asked Johnny, he went back and asked Johnny, who was the son of the family, to cut wood for his mom. And once they were out of sight in the woods, killed him with one blow to the back of his head, you know, with his tomahawk.
Sure, just gonna put emphasis on that. It's like a fake tomahawk.
Yes, that is all I'm going to address it as now. Tomahawk.
And I'm just gonna call it a hatchet.
So then he returned back to the house where he visited Miss Mulligan, and she asked him to fire his gun, to which she refused, because, you know, that would alert the authorities something was wrong. And she knew something was definitely wrong. So that was, you know, fun for her. We love that for her, especially since he refused. So she went back to the house while her husband went to search the woods for his son. He did not last long.
So let me get this straight. Basically, the woman obviously knows something's wrong. She's like, oh, crap, my son's dead. I can feel it or something because, like, I don't know, the maternal instinct or whatever. And she asks the guy to fire his gun?
Yeah, to alert the authorities because, you know, they're not that far from town. When you hear a gunshot that's not supposed to be heard, that's going to raise some suspicion and bring people your way. So that's what she was trying to do. So that way, if something did happen, she could try and hold him off long enough. Because, you know, she still has her husband, herself, and her daughter to think about. But anyways, so instead of using, you know, strength in numbers, considering you have a whole kitchen worth of, you know, stabberoos, knives and stuff.
Stabberoos, nice.
Stabberoos, yeah. They were like, they pulled a Scooby-Doo gang and split up to search for clues. You know, so she went to the house, he went into the woods. He didn't last long because once again, your boy used his tomahawk to kill Mr. Mulligan. Almost immediately after he spotted the wife coming towards him, he tripped her up and then killed her the same way.
You know, you gotta love a guy who's consistent, though. No surprises.
Right. Anyways, so yeah, he was like, death unto you, sir, as murderers do. And he killed her, the wife. So now the son, the wife, and the father are all gone. Guess who's left? The daughter. So he enters the house and, you know, little girl's holding a butcher's knife crying, as, you know, one does. Only smart one in the whole family. Until the next thing that happens. But, like,
Just for a minute there,
at
she almost
least
got
she got a weapon. That's all.
You know, it's something.
It's better than nothing. But anyways, so he goes, listen, I don't want to kill you, but I have to because you're going to rat me out to the police. Says, drop the knife. You have 10 minutes to live. Pray to the Lord for forgiveness. He actually told her to kneel and pray for her last 10 minutes. So after those 10 minutes were up, he actually gave her some more time because he decided to take her to the bedroom and rape her over and over and over again. So yeah. After that, though, he was like, hey, let's take her to the kitchen and comfort her. He was like, hey, listen, the world's bad. You'll be better off dead anyways. And then he was like, oh, look, a bird. And then, you know, whack.
Like, I love, Jesus, he took his time with her, didn't he?
He did, which is very cruel considering she was, she knew her whole family was dead.
Well, she was, okay, so she was obviously smart enough to grab the knife, but I just, okay.
See, got- I don't understand why she put the knife down. It's very clear he did not plan on using his gun. He might not have even had bullets, because if he did, he could have just been like, well, pew, you know? And he didn't.
Well, he obviously wanted her to, you know, rape her, so maybe that's probably why he didn't shoot her, but I feel like if she came with a knife, you know.
Emily, necrophilia is a thing.
Still, this guy, I don't know.
But it was a thing. Anyway.
He doesn't give me the Jeffrey Dahmer vibes, though.
Oh my god, I forgot that Jeffrey Dahmer was a necrophiliac.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that's fun. Anyways. So then he built a pyre, which is a structure that's typically made of wood and used in funerals or executions to burn a body. Which is lots of fun, considering he then gathered all their bodies, and, you know, he later claimed that they burnt like bodies of fat.
Loving that description right there.
Yes. And then he also burned all their remaining clothes to make his following story more believable. He told the townspeople that he had bought the land from the family and that they had left town.
Yes, and they all just believed him because, I mean, they just disappeared off the face of the planet. So, anyways, basically, this is kind of getting to the ending of his killing spree. His final murder was of the man named Kierens Landrigan. These are some really weird names, let me just say that now. Anyway, this guy was a farmer. Whom a bunch of witnesses, which is why he actually got caught, had seen him eating dinner with this guy. Mm-hmm. So basically what happened is, obviously, you know, he had killed the mulligans and he moved on to this one guy. I don't know, he just met him and I guess he wanted his cattle too. But anyways, he used an alias, John Dunleavy. But apparently this is how he was also caught. So basically they knew that the witness accounts placed him with the victim. And when the police actually found him after he had murdered this guy, he was driving a car that matched tracks found at the crime scene with a bloodstained shirt and wearing the hat of the victim.
Guy.
So my guy was very smart.
How do you go from being smart? First of all, how do you go from being smart enough to burn the bodies and their clothes to wearing the clothes of the dead man, wearing bloody shirt, using the same vehicle that you used at the place of death? Guys, if you're this stupid, you deserve it. You deserve what comes next.
At this point in time, I think he was just devolving. Because, yeah, I mean, he was smart enough to use an alias, but not smart enough to, like, get rid of the tracks that traced it back to him.
Oh, because yeah, literally, John Dunleavy is such a good alias, considering his name is already John.
No, but the last name. I mean, you gotta give credit where credit is due, oh, all right?
Ooh. Yeah. Sure.
Anyways, I mean, it didn't work very effectively. He was super well known in the town. Like, everybody knew him as a newcomer to the area. It was a pretty small town, who had purchased the farm from the Mulligan family, who he, again, you know, said supposedly said left town, and that he So basically the reason he gave for them leaving town was actually to avoid being investigated for illegally selling grog, which is a rum mixed with water. Yeah, I don't know where, how, why he used that as of all the reasons he could have said, but okay. I also hate that word, grog.
Grog.
But yeah, the reason John, or so this was like additional murders that they thought he had done because the suspicion started falling on him because no one had actually spoken to the Mulligan family before they had supposedly left town. So John was promptly arrested. So basically, now that he was arrested, the police were able to figure out that he was actually John Lynch and they identified him. But regardless of all the lies that he was caught up in, he maintained his innocence. But the final straw was when his belt was found at the Mulligan farm and he was placed on trial.
Oh no, John was caught being John.
Yes. I mean, you know, he left evidence everywhere, so he was pretty careful when it came to disposing of the bodies of the Mulligan family. But then he just forgot about everything else, I guess.
Right. You have to give him props for killing the two people in or near the mountains, though, because, listen, not as many people go through that area as people are in the city. So, props to him there. But anyways, the press dubbed him as the Barima Axe Murderer because he used a tomahawk to kill some of his victims. Get it? The axe murderer because he used a tomahawk. It's funny. But yeah. So he couldn't afford an attorney and was stopped when he tried to sell some of his items to get a lawyer. So he decided to represent himself in court.
Yeah. But yeah, smart guy for deciding to represent himself in court. I guess he didn't have enough money from all those cattle that he sold. But yeah, he lied his way throughout the entire trial, trying to cast doubt on the witnesses that the prosecution brought up. And despite a actually convincing performance that the jury said he had, they still found him guilty on March 22nd of 1842. He continued to say that he was innocent, but later on when he was still in prison, he was linked to some of his other previous crimes. And given this, John Lynch was sentenced to die on April 22nd of that same year. And the day before he was killed, he decided to write a full confession to the prison chaplain and magistrate. So then that's how we know definitively that he is the one who killed everyone.
That's fun. Anyways, that's John Lynch. Not the brightest, not the sharpest tool in the shed of a serial killer.
Not the sharpest tomahawk.
Yes. Anyways, at least we know he was passionate about his religion because that's one good trait. Tune in next week to learn about Pablo Escobar, and we will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
Again, this is Emily and Rachel. Don't be stupid and stay safe.